From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the darkest time of the night. Oh, looking forward to that. Here's what's happening. Something unexpectedly has been gradually making itself known to geologists in the United States. A huge mass of molten rock is creeping upwards beneath the nation's northeastern states now. Traces of the mass only became evident through a large-scale new seismic study. The idea that there may be a supervolcano brewing under Massachusetts, Vermont, and New Hampshire is something of a surprise. The region right now is stable, no active volcanoes, but they say the massive magma buildup must be a relatively recent event. We're going to keep our eyes on that one. The Food and Drug Administration has approved the country's first drug derived from marijuana. It's a medication that treats two rare and devastating forms of epilepsy. World stocks extended a sell-off as an escalating trade fight between the United States and other major economies steered investors away from riskier assets, with markets, for example, in China, bearing the brunt of investor anxiety. Our stock market dropped over 300 points today. And the production of Harley-Davidson motorcycles sold in Europe will move from U.S. factories to facilities overseas, according to the Milwaukee-based company, a consequence of the retaliatory tariffs that the European Union is imposing on American exports in an escalating trade war with the Trump administration. Our expert, Andre Aguilachon, with us. Andre, here we go. The game's afoot, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is, George. I mean, but when you look at the overall trend of the economy, we look at stocks and, you know, that sort of thing. Since 2016, we've seen the stock market really take off, and it has not stopped since. I mean, we've grown from about 16,000 in 2014 to we went to about 26,000, and now we're down to about 24,000 in the stock market. I think the stock market is in a state of flux right now, and we're due for a correction. But make no mistake about it, George. Interest rates were held low for a long time, for about the last 8 years. Listen to me. For about the last 8 years, the Fed has not had to raise interest rates. Now that we've injected $1.5 trillion into the economy in a tax cut, and now that we are, you know, dibble-dabbling in a trade war with some of our allies and some of our adversaries, the Chinese and Russians and what have you, I think that this could put us, it could put us on the point to heading towards recession by 2020, sometime before the November election in 2020. And the reason why it's going to probably go into a recession is because the Fed did not have to raise interest rates for the last 9-10 years. Now the Fed is going to have to raise interest rates because these tariffs are going to make goods more expensive for people in the United States. The tax cuts have heated this economy very red hot right now. So I'm seeing inflation being built up even more in the pipeline than it has been in previous years. And I think that the Fed's attempt to manage it, if they get it wrong, is going to put us in a recession by 2020. We'll just have to wait and see.
We don't need that. And for a seated president, that's not good news, is it?
Not at all. I mean, you know, well, right now, you know, the economy is doing good. That's undeniable. I mean, you know, we're creating a lot of jobs right now. You know, unemployment is very, very low. But there are, the problem is inflation that's being built up in the pipeline. The economy is red hot. And the Fed is very, very concerned about it. They are going to raise interest rates, I fear, more aggressively than even what they had anticipated up until now. You got Harley-Davidson that's moving out of this country. You got GE and other companies that are considering, you know, more offshoring industry. So I agree with President Trump in that we've been getting the shaft on trade for a long time. George, you know I've been saying this for years.
Yes, sir.
The problem is, how do you address it? You know, you can't put the brakes on a freight train and stop it in its tracks. It has to be gradually slowed down and done in a very systematic way so as not to disrupt the entire global economy. But I do believe that the president, for the first time, we got a president that's saying, well, you know, we've been getting the shaft, and we're going to do something about it. Well, I'm glad to hear that, but just don't be too aggressive, because if you do, you're going to jack up the global economy. A trade war is no good, and we're teeter-tottering right on the brink of a trade war.
Good observation. Andre's website, straightmoneyanalysis.com. Richard Harrison, the old man, the curmudgeonly patriarch of the History Channel's Pawn Stars. Well, he has died at the age of 77.
National Geographic was one of the best teaching tools there was in the general public, and their photography was always outstanding. They give you a peek at part of the world that you didn't know nothing about.
The old man was always grumbling about the goings-on in his Las Vegas shop that he ran with his son and grandson, made him a reality TV star. He is dead at the age of 77. Be careful if you have dogs, especially this summer. A woman came home with a dog infested with 85 ticks, and they're all over her house. She found them in her hair, on her legs. Just a little warning, be careful if you take your dog out for a walk. Check it. These little ticks are falling off of trees and everything else. And the Holistic Plastic Surgery Show, host and board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Anthony Yoon is a prominent plastic surgeon, and he joins dermatologists and alternative and complementary health experts to discuss the latest options in holistic health and beauty.
Soy and soy milk contain phytoestrogens. And these phytoestrogens can mimic human estrogens, and they can cause cosmetic and hormonal problems, problems like acne. Well, men, they can actually get man boobs, and I've seen this in my practice. Well, you also want to keep in mind that 90% of soy is GMO, or genetically modified. And they're genetically modified so that the large food corporations can spray them with chemical herbicides like glyphosate. And glyphosate, we know, is a known carcinogen. So basically, these large agricultural corporations, they get a better crop and they make more money, but at the expense of you and I being exposed to potential carcinogens. So overall, I'd recommend try to avoid most soy-based foods. It's going to be better for your health and for your appearance.
Dr. Anthony Yoon of the Holistic Plastic Surgery. So, Anthony, how long have you been doing this program now?
Oh, it's been about a year and a half, and it's been great.
You having fun doing it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the idea is we're giving you the truth in holistic health care, anything from the acupuncture facelift to holistic options for hair loss to the latest in cosmetic surgery.
How do people find the podcast, Anthony?
The easiest way is to go to dryoon.com/audio. That's dryoon.com/audio. Or dryoon.com/podcast.
We'll put it up on our Twitter feed as a link for you. And you're going to be a guest of mine in a couple weeks back on the show.
Yeah, we're going to cover some great topics then. I'm looking forward to it.
Super. Thanks. Dr. Anthony Yoon, he's got his own podcast now called The Holistic Plastic Surgery Show. And you know, every once in a while, we highlight podcasts to give them an opportunity to show you what they do. A Chinese space station's mysterious maneuvers have sparked fears about it plunging to Earth. Now, earlier this year, a Chinese satellite burned up over the South Pacific after spending months locked in a death spiral. Now its sister craft was spotted diving 60 miles toward the surface of our planet before mysteriously climbing back to its usual orbital height. Strange. What else is going on in the skies? Let's check in with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Hey, Stephen.
Hi, George. Hey, continuing on with your Tiangong 2 story, you're right. The spacecraft has been put down to an orbital height of about 183 miles and then moved back to 242. Simply, the Chinese Space Agency may be getting ready to deorbit the spacecraft, maybe giving Coast listeners an opportunity to hopefully see some kind of a fiery reentry. But, George, we move on to astronomy. A small asteroid about 4 meters wide actually struck the Earth near Moscow. This object with a 3-kiloton kinetic energy potential was not even seen on NASA radar until after it hit the Earth. Here we go again. But something very important that maybe people out there are scratching their heads on. 110 years ago, this weekend, June the 30th, which by the way is now officially Asteroid Day, the great Russian Tunguska event took place. We talk about it because it's so amazing. Mm-hmm. It's the largest impact, George, ever to hit the Earth in modern times. Get a load of this. The actual energies on this were upwards of 10 to 15 megatons.
Wow.
What did it do to the ground? Well, here's what scientists are now saying, the modern version, because it actually took so long to even get to the impact site in the 1920s as the first crews got there. Some 830 square miles were actually caused, this destruction spread over an area large as maybe the size of the state of Rhode Island. And that airburst created a ground equivalent of about a 5.0 on the Richter scale. But the live sky continues. And folks, you know, George, we've been talking about Mars, and we'll have an announcement, as I promised earlier in the month, about our Mars Mania events. But folks, if you happen to have a small telescope, do like I do and a lot of other good people, George, take that telescope out, look at Mars in the southeast sky around midnight, and you're going to see something amazing. The global dust storm has literally obscured, obviously, so much of the surface features. But get a load of this. It's now 43 million miles away from your eye, coming closest to us in July, as I've mentioned. In the telescope world, it's about a size of 20 seconds of arc. What does that mean? It means it's relatively large for Mars, and you can yet, like I see and a lot of people see, the southern polar cap is visible. Some of the features are there. Saturn is at best this week, George. Just look into the southeast at around sunset. 841 million miles away, the rings are open beautifully in a telescope. And finally, don't forget the beauty, George, of the full strawberry moon Wednesday into Thursday morning. Dr. Sky reminds everybody what? Always remember to keep your eyes to the skies. Email me at drsky@cox.net. We'll have an announcement coming soon, George, about Mars Mania for our friends coming to Arizona in July and August.
I love it. You just make the skies so exciting. You really do. In a moment, Liz McIntyre joins me as we talk about spy chips and other privacy issues. Get ready for that. First, though, congratulations to talk show host Mark Levin, this year's by-vote recipient to the National Radio Hall of Fame. I wanted to thank all of you who voted for me. This was the highest vote event count in the history of the Hall of Fame. It was close, but congratulations to Mark. He's done a marvelous job as a talk show host. But once again, thank you. And you know what? We'll make it in a few years. There's no rush. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Liz McIntyre is a consumer privacy expert, activist, co-author with Dr. Catherine Albrecht of Spy Chips, how major corporations and government plan to track your every purchase and watch your every move. She works as a consultant for StartPage.com, which is that private search engine that helps protect you against surveillance. Liz recently started CamCat.org, an organization that seeks legislation guaranteeing you the right to reject invasive technology like RFID implants. She's back with us on Coast to Coast. Liz, looking forward to this. Perfect time for you to be on the show. How are you?
I'm fine, George. How are you?
I'm great. You know, when you were with me in the latter part of last year, we were talking about that Wisconsin company that makes kiosks that they wanted to chip all their employees. Did they go ahead and do that?
They did. They did that actually last summer. They did it, about 50 employees. And the company said it was voluntary. But, of course,
You know. If you get a memo from the president that says, we'd like you to do your chips, it's all voluntary, and then there's a sign-up list, you're probably going to go, right?
Exactly, if you want your job. Of course, the company says that the employees can opt to have a wristband with an RFID tag in it instead of having the embedded chip. But really, if you want a promotional, you know, opportunity, or you want to get on good with your manager, you most likely are going to, you know, you're going to think very hard about getting that chip. But it happened, and so it goes on. I mean, this company is the only one, though, right now, thank God.
Now, the company's not involved in chipping people. They don't manufacture chips at all.
Well, they don't.
Why would they do this, then?
Okay. So this company, Three Square Market, out of River Falls, Wisconsin, has a couple of business lines, I have found out since then. The main business line was manufacturing these small snack shops that you might see, I don't know, in airports and train stations. You know, you go up and they have the little hole in the wall, and you go up and there's fruit and there's sandwiches.
Yeah, they're kind of portable. You kind of like move them into place.
Right. Sort of like that. And the owners decided they needed to do something a little different. In fact, I found out later that they were inspired by the people in Sweden. They had some customers in Sweden, and the people in Sweden are really, they're into transhuman transformation.
Oh, they love this stuff.
They love it. And so they were like, hey, can we pay with an RFID chip? So this inspired this Wisconsin company to look into it and take it seriously. So anyway, this company sells these snacks. And so the idea is they buy these chips from a company. They don't make the chips themselves, but they actually encourage their employees to take the chips, and they want every one of us to take a chip so that we can go up and purchase snacks by just waving our hand and picking up a snack. So that's their business model. But Georgia goes further than that. Oh. And if people go to my website at camcat.org, that's camcat.org, I have a video posted there where the president of this company, which is called Three Square Market out of River Falls, Wisconsin, he's talking to a group of innovators in Wisconsin. He's talking about what he's doing and what his plans are for the future. And believe me, he has a very big plan for the RFID future. So it goes beyond shipping his employees, and it goes way beyond having people buy these snacks by waving their hands. He's into all kinds of business lines. In fact, that company has another associated company that is a prison company. It's actually called, let me see if I can find it. Here it is. It's called Turnkey Corrections.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, these prisons are going to be privatized. I'm convinced of that one day.
Oh, absolutely. And they have right now companies like Three Square Markets, Turnkey Corrections, that goes in there and does food services and other things. Well, they're in there and they're offering their RFID to the corrections companies, their organizations. They're telling them, hey, get your prisoners chipped for parole reasons. We're going to send our employees in to do food service, but before they go in, they're going to have a chip or they're going to have a wristband with an RFID tag. And that way, you know, before they go and touch the food, they go into the cafeteria to fix the food, they have to wash their hands because there's an RFID tag either in them or on them. And then there's a place where they wash their hands that has an RFID reader. And they have to stand there a certain amount of time washing their hands by that sink in order to even go into the food service area. So this company is going way beyond these snack kiosks, which is what we all thought, you know, they were trying to sell.
Liz, you know, Catherine is very religious, and she has talked with me on this program for years now about how she believes that these chips could be the sign of the beast that is highlighted in the Bible, the 666. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, it's very interesting how this technology could bring about the predictions of Revelation.
Oh, boy.
Of the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not saying it's the mark of the beast. I would never say that because I think that there are other technologies besides these chips that could be like that. But there's no denying that we're moving closer and closer to a time when people really could be prevented from buying or selling unless they have an RFID chip or some kind of an RFID tag or tattoo, something that remotely identifies them to the system, to the government, to whatever power is in charge.
I mean, it is so ironic when you read Revelation and tie it into that you must have, in order to basically survive, you've got to be able to have this mark in order to buy goods and services. And this thing was written thousands of years ago. It's uncanny, isn't it?
It's really uncanny. And I tell you, that the projects that are being planned, the things that are being done just by this one little company in Wisconsin that's daring to do this. I mean, people watch this video. It's a YouTube video of the president, Patrick McMullen, talking about his future plans. In addition to chipping prisoners, he's talking in there about how he has already chipped an unnamed dementia patient in Puerto Rico. And this is so the family can track this person.
Oh, boy.
Supposedly by a cell phone.
They're chipping dogs, and, you know, Catherine has told us it causes cancer.
It could cause cancer at a much higher rate than one would expect. And I have that information actually at CamCat because that's really important research. I mean, there are oncologists who told Catherine, who said after they read the study where she put together all the statistics about dogs and rats and so on, that were having a higher than expected occurrence of cancer after having these chips inserted. And they're saying, you know, we need studies
All right, Liz, hold on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk more. Liz McIntyre, our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM. This weekend, I'm going to be in Vancouver, British Columbia at the Architects of the New Paradigm Conference. If you've got a passport, you want to show up, come on by. Full information at coasttocoastam.com. And, of course, if you're Canadian, no need for a passport. But, again, go to events at coasttocoastam.com. And then, of course, August 25th, Asheville, North Carolina, come on out to our live stage show at the Diana Wortham Theater, DW Theater, theatre.com. Get you there and gets those tickets. They are filling up fast. And again, full information at events at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, Liz McIntyre with us tonight. Her website, camcat.org, camcat.org. Liz, one of the reasons why so many people are hesitant about getting chipped is because it's embedded in the body. But now they're coming out with different things where you don't have to do that anymore. What's going to happen?
Well, there are so many new technologies, and one of the technologies is actually a tattoo, which is an electronic tattoo, which is similar to what an RFID tag would do that's embedded in your body. This one, though, is just stamped onto your skin permanently, and it's magnetic ink. And can be read from a distance, just like an RFID tag could be read.
Whoa.
So that's pretty scary. And that actually would be more appealing to people and could be done on a mass scale much easier, because think about it. Who wants a lumpy chip in their hand?
That's right. So I'll just get one as a tattoo. I'll get 666 on me.
Well, it could be invisible ink. It might be where it's just readable by a machine, but then it's not.
That's interesting.
You know, showing up. Or it could be embedded in another tattoo. Like, you can make it fancy and then have the invisible part of it, you know, just not showing.
What about fingernails? I hear they're working on that, too.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is interesting. You know, people right now, RFID chipping right now is pretty much a niche thing, a cool thing. And frankly, I don't really have a problem with people hacking their own bodies. If people want to tattoo themselves or pierce themselves or you know, put implants into their bodies, that's fine. And in fact, you know, when it's not a massive database that people are forced to be part of, if it's just something that's local on their own systems, it's to open their own door, their own car, that's a very different thing. And the only problem with that, it could soften us up to the idea of, you know, one day scaling up to where this is like a national program where everyone has to have a chip. That's my big concern about it. But right now, some body hackers are very interested in what they can do with these RFID tags, also called near-field communication chips, the kinds of chips you might see in your credit card. And they're actually, one person's actually decided that she wants these RFID tags that actually light up. They have little LED lights on them. She wants to put them in her fingernails as part of her manicure. It's really bizarre. And I think, gosh, if anyone would like to follow me there, you can go to startpage.com, which is the private search engine. If you go there, I'll give people a second if you want to try to open your computer browser and go to startpage.com. Not if you're driving, though. Don't drive.
No, not if you're driving.
Not if you're driving. But if you're home and you're near a computer or later, I know that people can replay this. They want to go back and try it themselves. Go to startpage.com and type in, let's see here. I'll say it's Makezine, M-A-K-E-Z-I-N-E, R-F-I-D, fingernails. So it's three words, Makezine, M-A-K-E-Z-I-N-E, R-F-I-D, fingernails. And take a look at what you see. It's really, really bizarre. It's actually some full pictures there at this Make publication. And you can see this woman has her fingernails are all lit up. And when she goes near a reader device, those nails light up. They respond because they're RFID tags, basically. And she can actually use these tags and program them using a Google program, of all things. It's a free app from Google Play, so you know you can get this on your smartphone or whatever, and you can go ahead and you can
Oh, you there, Liz? Let's see if we got it one more time. Lizzie, you there? Okay, we'll try to get you back. Tom will get you back and a couple numbers to call for you, and we will do our best to get Liz back here because, once again, a controversial subject, and she gets clipped. And she was going to be with us, and she plans to be, for the full 3 hours tonight, taking your calls in the last hour with her. And then we've got another special guest coming in to talk about some unbelievable research that he's been doing, including his book called The Darkest Time of Night, which is really a spooky, spooky situation indeed. But she just went blank on us, folks, just in the middle of all that. So you got her back? Okay. See, every time you talk about something controversial, Liz, you're gone.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's going on here. Well, it was all about those RFID fingernails,
see?
I guess.
That's right. They didn't like what you were saying, apparently.
Apparently not.
See, I got to do a say you're in favor of our RFID chips, and they'll let you stay on the air here.
There you go. There you go.
But with the fingernails, what do they do? Just apply it?
Well, it's this whole process, and what you have to do is buy these little chips with the LED lights on them, and you glue them to your fingernail, and then you have to put this sculpted acrylic nail on top of it. And sort of encase this chip on top of your fingernail.
And you just need one?
Well, what this person is doing one for every finger. I mean,
why do you need so many chips?
Well, I think she's programming each chip to do something different.
Jeez.
So she can open her car, maybe, or open her computer. It's sort of an option instead of embedding it in your skin, under your skin.
You know, I can understand, Liz, how stores want to track their goods. You know, their inventory. I mean, I get that. But there's a bigger reason for this, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. Catherine and I did a tremendous amount of research into marketing and stores and use of technology to track people, especially with RFID tags and other similar technologies. And, of course, it's about making money. It's about knowing more about people than even their mothers know. And if they know about people, they know how to sell them things and to sell them more things and to sell them more expensive things. And so if you know who's coming into your store, you know who they are, you can predict maybe what they might want to buy and show them an ad for something and get them to buy it. Or if you see someone wheeling into your store, you know, doesn't have a lot of money, you might want to discourage that person from breathing your valuable air and pushing your valuable shopping cart. So there are so many reasons, and really none of them are things that are very much in the consumer's interest.
Well, it's happening, and it's happening faster than you thought, isn't it?
Much faster. In fact, you know, the chipping, you know, years ago, Catherine and I fought the RFID chipping, and a lot of consumers, you know, they said, hey, we don't want this, and stores were worried. They saw there was a huge backlash when they tried to chip products in stores like Walmart. And so a lot of stores backed down. They gave up their plans. They went underground. But it's starting to come back again. And the prediction has always been that clothing and shoes, you know, apparel, would be the first items to get tagged. And not only at the manufacturing point of manufacturer, from the truck to the store to the back room, but also when they're out there on the store floor, you know, on the shelves, on the racks, where consumers will actually interact with these RFID devices. And it's actually coming true. This seems to be accelerating now. Still, a lot of stores are not willing to talk about it, but George, I've done some research, and I found out some of the stores that are actually where you can go in and you can actually see RFID tags on things like the clothes you might want to buy. If you're in England, Marks & Spencer is a store that's really aggressively tagging. But I know most of your audience is here in the U.S., and there are some U.S. stores. Macy's. Everybody knows Macy's, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are moving forward with tagging, according to reports. And their plans were to have RFID track every single item in all of its stores by the end of 2018.
Now, do they take these chips back when the item is purchased, or do they stay on the item forever?
Well, this is the problem. It's hard to know, George, because while a lot of places with clothing, they're doing hang tags, meaning those little tags that you see.
Yeah.
And you can actually, you know, see the tag. But in some cases, like with shoes, they're not going to use hang tags. They're probably going to embed those in the sole, and where you won't see them. And there can always be more than one tag. So you could have a hang tag, and you could have another tag embedded in the seam of clothing, and it could stay there for forever. So, you know, stores aren't really giving us all their secrets. You know, all we do know is that Macy's has talked about their plan and has verified they are tagging the items in their stores. Another clothing store, and I can never say this name right, it's the athletic store with all that popular yoga clothing called Lululemon.
Have no idea.
Okay, but that's, a lot of people would know that athletic store. They sell men and women's athletic wear. They're using RFID hang tags. And those are things that are, you know, hanging off the clothes on the store floor. And then Neiman Marcus.
My operations guy says it's Lululemon.
Lululemon. Thank you.
There
Lululemon.
You go. See, that was a far cry from what you said, but
I know it's a Lululemon. It's Lululemon.
No wonder I didn't know what Lulumar was.
Yeah, they're doing it. And then Neiman Marcus.
Oh, did we lose you again? Folks, Tommy, go to the cell and let's stick with that because she is gone again. This is going to be an interesting evening, folks, when you're dealing with controversy. That is absolutely sure. Our special guest, Liz McIntyre. Now, she has written several books with our dear friend Catherine Albrecht, Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Governments Plan to Track Your Every Purchase and Watch Your Every Move, and The Spy Chips Threat, Why Christians Should Resist RFID and Electronic Surveillance. Her website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com, is camcat.org, C-A-M-C-A-T.org, and she is a privacy expert. We're going to get into that, too, lately, with the work on privacy. So we're still trying to get a hold of her, and if we do, we'll pop it on any second, but she's having some severe phone issues wherever she may be. You never know. Could be weather-related, but it could also be some conspiracy. So, you know, we may not be able to get her in time. And if we don't, we may have to move our second guest up and move on that way. So we've got her again. So there we go. Happened again, Liz. Three times a charm, huh?
I know. I don't know what's going on. It's the same phone I've used last time. I have no idea. I'm looking around seeing if there's like some kind of a rat chewing on my cord or something. Because it's like,
what kind of phone are you on? Cordless?
I'm on a landline phone. It's a dedicated phone. It's a very specialized phone just for this. And so I'm just flummoxed.
That is weird.
I have no idea.
That is
weird. It is weird. I'm flummoxed.
Are you still on that phone now, or are you on your cell phone?
No, I'm on that phone. I'm on that phone. So if you need to, you can call me. I have another number that I gave you. You can call me on, which I won't share with the studio audience.
Okay, that goes to a machine, Tom says, by the way. Just so you know. So anyway, you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Okay,
yes,
this is scary time.
I know.
Let's talk about privacy issues and what's going on with government. I mean, we've heard about breaches with Facebook and everything else. What's happening?
Well, there are so many things. There are so many things going on in privacy. There are some good things going on in privacy, though. So that's a good thing. Maybe we should talk about some good things, or do you want the bad things first? Hello?
Yeah.
You want the bad things or the good things?
I want everything.
Everything. Well, let's talk about some good stuff, because we've talked about all this RFID and the tagging of people. And
so there is some good stuff here.
There is some good stuff. Yes, there is. So some recent things in privacy. Just recently, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that the government needs to get a search warrant to get location history for your cell phone. Now, that's good news, because we all carry our smartphones, and they're de facto tracking devices. And of course, we all hope we're doing the right thing, right, all the time. But, you know, we don't want the government being able to get information about our location and figure out where we are at all times. I mean, that's a human right. We don't want them following us and knowing we're at a protest, or we're going to a certain church or a mosque, or, you know, going to the airport or whatever. We want to have the freedom to move around without having the eyes of Uncle Sam on us 24/7. And so this is actually really good news, and it helps bolster the Fourth Amendment, which prohibits unreasonable search and seizure. Do you know where this case came from?
No.
Well, it was very interesting. You know, good things happen, and sometimes you go, well, gosh, you wish those guys, you know, didn't get off the hook. But it's actually a case of some armed robberies at some Radio Shack and T-Mobile stores that happened in the Midwest. And what happened was there was one of these robbers who told the FBI his cell phone number and the numbers of the other people who were in his gang robbing these stores. And so the FBI decided, well, gosh, we've got these phone numbers. We're going to track where these guys go and where they've been. We're going to look back at their history. Were they at those stores? You know, what did they do over time? And because they could figure out based on their cell phone locations where they were and put them at the scene of the crime, they took them to court and said, hey, look, we can prove these guys were at the store during the time of the robbery.
Jeez.
Well, this was pushed up to higher courts and finally got to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, look, people have an expectation of privacy. They don't expect you over the long term to track them and where they're going all the time. And so before you can go ahead and track people, you have to get a warrant. You have to go to a judge. You have to go and prove that you have a reason to look at people's long-term histories of where their cell phones have been and basically where they've been. And so that's really good news for us and for privacy. So that's number one. That's number one on my list.
Well, it's amazing how quickly, Liz, this is happening to people. And we as just consumers seem to be helpless when it's happening. There's not much we can do, is there? I mean, you need your cell phones. You need this. People do want to interact on the web. What do we do?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. We take on this technology, right? But we give up so much. And so we have to make choices here. I mean, there is so much convenience in a cell phone. We can be on the road. We can get calls from people. We can use our phones to navigate to where we want to go. We can get coupons, right? If we go to the store, we're like, oh, I'm at this store. I bet I can get a coupon and go in and get a coupon for something. So we're making some choices with that by having our phones on all the time and being able to, you know, be tracked by triangulation or even through, you know, the government has devices now that can pick up cell phones from flying aircraft overhead, from fake cell phone towers and so on. So we're making choices, you know, not only the government, but also retailers want to know where we are. I mean, they want to track where we are and what we're doing. So
who's listening to all this stuff, though, Liz? I mean, my God. I mean, though I'm sure it all goes to some huge computer bank, who sorts it out?
It's electronic. And so basically they collect all this data, this information, and parse it electronically because no human could ever do it. There aren't enough people in the world to listen to all the conversations or to follow people around the world. And they find information of interest and they make, you know, they draw lines, they draw the, you know, connect the dots to try to figure out, you know, the information they need. And in the case of, say, the FBI in that case with the robberies, they knew exactly what numbers they were looking for, and they could go and zero in exactly on those records which are stored. So there are a number of ways that these records could possibly come back to haunt us later. And, you know, I'm really torn on this, George, because I have to tell you, cell phones are a great convenience.
Oh, my God. Yes, of course.
I mean, you know, I look back to the days of the payphones.
They're handheld computers now.
They're handheld computers. I mean, you don't have to get out of your car. You can be in the safety of your vehicle. You're lost somewhere and figure out where you are or make a call to an emergency service or whatever, you know, as opposed to, like, what, 20 years ago, you'd be driving down the road. You could be on a dark street somewhere. Your tire could go out. And then you have to, like, get out of the car and hope that you could find a payphone or somebody who's not going to hit you over the head and rob you, right? So, you know, it's really a blessing in a way. And I'm torn because I love technology. I'm a privacy advocate, and I always caution against RFID and all the abuses and so on. But really, at the core, I love technology. I love computers.
Oh, it's amazing.
I love it. I mean, I don't want to go back. I would love to use these technologies to their fullest.
All right, stay with us, Liz. Hold on. We'll talk more. We'll take some calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.